No, so the sermon series is based off this. Looking at economics, and in economics, there's laws and there's principles that govern the economy, right? That help the economy to flourish. And when the economy or when the nation applies these principles, it helps them to flourish accurately. Well, in the same way, we want to take the teachings of Christ and apply his principles to our lives so it can help us flourish in life. It can help give us a firm faith. It can help us to strive with him. It can give us peace which surpasses all of our understanding. And so today I want to talk from this standpoint about asking you guys just one specific question, a topic that I feel so dearly to talk about, which is, what would you exchange? Or here's a better question. What are you willing to exchange in your life to have a life with Christ? And I'm going to go ahead and open up in scripture today before we begin. If you have a copy of the scripture, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. I'm not wasting any time. I'm hitting right into the scripture. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew was an easy scripture to find. Passage to find, because first it's in the New Testament, and then also it's the first book in the New Testament as well. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. I'm going to go ahead and dig in. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Christ is kind of talking about giving up our selfish ways or our selfish ambition. Now, we're going to dig into that in just a little bit. Verse 25, he continues, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it." Verse 26 is kind of the headliner for today's verse. I'm sorry, for today's sermon. "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, if he has all of these possessions, but yet forfeits his soul?" Again, I want to ask you guys the question to kind of dig into our topic of, what are you willing to exchange to have a life with Christ? And dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the scriptures. I thank you that we get to call on your son, Jesus. I pray that in this passage today, that the presence of the Holy Spirit would just grip our hearts and we would just be inclined to follow you more and more in our everyday lives. We pray that we can model our son, Jesus, in all of his teaching and all of his passages that he speaks to us. And we pray that all these things would bring honor and glorification to your son's name. Amen. So, these two young ladies, the shorter one is Simone Biles, and some of you might be familiar with the taller one, that's Gabby Douglas. What's remarkable about these two young ladies is that they are famous world-class Olympic athletes. These girls are recognized by their gymnastic attributes. And one pretty cool thing about these two young ladies is that they have a life that was full of commitment. There was a recent interview with the shorter one, Simone, that came out, and she talked about her path towards towards the Olympics. She's competing in the Olympics, actually, this summer. And she talks about that in life, she had to drop some things on her path towards destiny, towards reaching this goal. She had an ambition to compete. She had a drive and a will to get to where she was getting wanted to get to. But she knew in order to get to where she wanted to get to, she would have to drop some things in her life. She talks about how she lost time with her family. She wasn't able to go to holidays and graduations and birthdays. She talks about how she lost time with her friends, that she really didn't have much of a teenage life. Now, she's a very young lady. She hasn't lived much of life, but she talks about her earlier years that, you know, her teenage years was full of really committing herself to gymnastics. So she really didn't go to the movies or go to concerts or go to dances or anything like that. But what really grabbed my attention in this interview was she basically said that she was willing to exchange what the world said was important to be able to compete in the Olympics. You ever known this lifestyle of the people who compete in gymnastics? They have this awesome commitment. They have this awesome just will to just do whatever it takes to get to where they want to get to. But she goes on and she explains that those things will have no value because here's the thing, I gain the level of competing in the Olympics. So I want to take a step back. And I want to wrap our heads around this understanding and what I'm trying to get to. See, do you ever have ambitions and goals and dreams in your life? Were you willing to accomplish these goals just to have a brighter future? And in that future, did you want more money? Did you want more possessions and materialistic things? In that future, did you want more fame or recognition? Or did you want a little bit of a status or a title to come along with it? The question that I really want to ask today is, how far are you willing to go in order to accomplish your desires? What would you sacrifice? Maybe you're willing to put aside the values in life. Maybe you're willing to put aside your family. Maybe you're willing to put aside time spending with your spouse. Maybe you're willing to put aside your children to be able to have the right status at work. Maybe in the midst of it, maybe you've done what I have done before. You're willing to compromise your morals because temptation sometimes creeps in. You know, I've resorted to deception because of me chasing views in my life. I'm sorry, me chasing desires in my life. Maybe you've been willing to break the law, to find a shortcut, to find the easy way in life. What would you sacrifice in your life for success? Would you hold on to that sacrifice and putting your relationship with God at risk? The problem that I have as a Christian that I have this misconception of following my view and what's important and chasing my own desires, but putting my relationship with God at risk and what He actually requires. And this mainly happens because of the world that we live in. We live in a materialistic world. If you have a Lexus, if you have a Beamer, if you have a big, nice house, if you have the right image, then you become the right person. Or better yet, you're important. And I've chased this life before. You know, because usually I remember hearing that my father spoke to me one time. He said, more money, more success. More success, more recognition. The more recognition, the more power. See, what happens is, the sermon series is not typically about dreams and goals or anything like that. What happens is we sometimes invest in these principles in our lives and they become a distraction. We lose sight of the importance and the reality in life. Because we have been willing to set aside family, which is why we have a lot of broken homes. This is why we have a lot of broken marriages. This is why we have a lot of broken churches. Putting aside values in life for our own selfishness. Distractions play in sometimes when we become discontent. We become competitive. We become jealous. We almost live in a world where it's you versus me. And as long as I got something better than you, well, then I'm all right. As long as my car is nicer than your car, well, then I'm okay. As long as my faith is bigger than your faith, then I'm all right. You know, these type of distractions, you know, they disrupt my service for Christ. Distractions can consume me in my life. And I'm not trying to say that God doesn't want us to have desires and goals and ambitions and dreams. The scripture says God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask for. But what I'm saying is desires can be good but become unhealthy when they become our foundation. Basically, when we're trying to find identity in the things that we're chasing in life. which is why you have a lot of people that are lost. I see women who do anything to receive a man's love. I see young men who do anything to receive the love from their parents. And today, in Scripture, what I want to do is I want to look at what are you and I, as Christians, as followers of the risen one, willing to do to be able to exchange this life that Christ gives us? Are we willing to drop our own ambitions and dreams to gain Christ? Exchange, you know, economic standpoint, it means we trade one source for another, right? And I want to ask you, are you willing to trade your life for Christ? I want to go ahead and dig into Scripture today. And in Scripture, I kind of want to talk about these three main topics in these three areas today. I want to talk about what it means to live out a true discipleship, to where we can live out a self-denial, to what Jesus talks about in verse 24 in our reading. And basically, just to kind of sum it all up, the bottom line is dropping a life that has no value to a life with Christ. To kind of pick up from where we left off at in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, I want to kind of give some more clarity to this verse. See, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, right? And right before he says these verses, Jesus goes on and he's explaining that I must go to Jerusalem. And when I go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be put to death. But 3 days later, a stone's going to roll over and I will rise again. And this left his disciples kind of perplexed and confused. They really didn't know how to respond. Typically, it was Peter. And Jesus went on and explained what true discipleship means, the requirements of following him. But before I dig in, I want to say this before you take any next step in your relationship with Christ. The very first thing you have to do is you got to make a decision. Because that's faith. Faith is a decision you make. Are you going to decide to continue to live by which we view as this world as important? Or are we going to take a look at Scripture? Are we going to be led by the Spirit and be led by that? But it starts with your decision. It starts by you looking at it and say, what has value? A life that the world shows me, or a life that Christ can give me? Jesus is, again, speaking about the true requirement of discipleship. I'm going to go ahead and pick up and back in verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me. Now, a disciple, to some of you guys, when you hear disciple, you think about the 12 men, right? Well, actually, disciple means the followings of one's teaching. You know, before, and if you read the Scriptures, they would address Jesus at sometimes as teacher. They would say, hey, teacher. So in some type of way, if you think about it, we all are disciples. The Great Commission says, all authority has on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go out and make disciples. Jesus said, go out and make disciples. So in some type of way, we all are disciples. But Christ goes on and he's, you know, talking about a real commitment. He says, if anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Self-denial is basically what Christ is trying to portray in this passage. See, I want you to understand we show true obedience to God when we deny ourselves. We show true faith in the risen King when we say no to my life. Now, to some of you, you might say to yourself, well, it doesn't make any sense. Like, how can I say no to my life? See, the thing about it, it's really just dropping my selfish ambition to gain Christ's commission. Gaining life with Christ means gaining grace. Gaining life with Christ means having access to salvation. Gaining life with Christ means being in the midst of his glory. And are you willing to set aside the life that distracts you from seeing that towards meeting him at this moment? That's the real question that I want to ask. You know, losing yourself is not an act of desperation. What it is an act of devotion. I mean, think about Christ being willing to sit up on the cross, the blood that shed that represented my redemption. When he took my shame on that cross, the fact was Christ was willing to sacrifice himself, to die to himself. And Christ is asking us to do the same thing. But it starts again with the decision of us making in our lives, am I willing to deny this life that the world shows me? You know, this denying yourself basically in some sense brings life to you. Think about his disciples. Anybody know the stories of some of his disciples? Peter had his own life. He was a fisherman. He had his own boat. He had his own business. But what did Christ say when he went up to him? Come with me and I will have you go out and cast for people. And he drops what he's doing. And he follows Christ. Peter was a grown man. He wasn't a kid. He was a grown man with a business. He was a grown man that had some things going on in his life. But he was willing to drop his life for a life with Christ. Look at Matthew, the very book that we're reading right now. Matthew was a tax collector. He had a lucrative job. His job wasn't really up to par at times. But Christ walks up to him and says only two words. Follow me. The Bible never talks about how much money Matthew made or how much income that he brought in gross at the end of the year. But can you imagine dropping that type of lifestyle? Jesus, in a couple scriptures, if you read ahead, Jesus has this encounter with a young ruler. And this young ruler basically says, hey, teacher, what shall I do to enter into eternal life? And Jesus tells him, follow the commandments. Do what you need to do. And he says, man, I've done all that, man. I've completed everything. What else can I do? Jesus simply says to him, give up all your possessions. What does a young ruler say? I don't want to do that. And he turns his back on Christ. See, the fact is, I have to realize in my own life that it's hard when you think about denying yourself. When you think about letting go of what you view as important and gaining access to Christ and what he says is important. Because before I followed Christ, I really didn't know what showing love was really all about. I really didn't know what it meant to sacrifice. I really didn't know what it meant to have hope. I really didn't know anything that was actually worth it in my life. And we have to understand that it's the best decision we can ever make in our own life. Choosing to follow Christ, denying myself, is an option. But we must choose it first. When we receive Christ, we receive these transformations in life. Transformations in the mind. Transformations in the heart. Transformation in our lifestyle. So when we receive Christ, it's going to take time for you and I to say no to temptation, to say no to this world and how it tries to create us, and say yes to the creator who made us. To say no to the things that have no value. To say no to the things that don't give us life. It's going to take us to make this type of commitment. Jesus goes on. I want to go ahead and pick up in verse 26. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Right then and there, Christ is willing is asking, what are you willing to exchange to have a life with me? John 14:6, Jesus goes on and he says that I am the way, that I am the truth, and I am the life. Those who to get to the Father, you got to get to me. Are you willing to choose the way? Are you willing to choose his truth? Are you willing to choose his life? Because what I think about when I grow up, or I'm sorry, when I was, as I was getting older, I started to think that for me to have any type of importance in my life, I would have to have things. I would have to have money. I would have to have riches and glory and all these type of things. But Jesus says, what good is that? What value does that have? Because listen, you could be a man with a making have a six-figure job, have a Lexus in the driveway, have a six-bedroom house, but be spiritually in debt. And Jesus is saying, what life would you rather have? A life with me that may have some suffering, that may have some harsh times, that may have some times to where you may seem confused, but you, again, you have me? Or to have a life that has no value but has minor pleasure? What are we willing to exchange to gain Christ? What habits, what morals, what lifestyle are you and I willing to drop in order to know Christ? One of my favorite verses by the Apostle Paul is Philippians 3:8. And I hate to throw so many scriptures at you guys, but a lot of this stuff ties into what I'm trying to speak about. He says, what is more, I considered everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. I love that verse because there's so many things that I've gained in my life that I look back and I say, wow, that really had no purpose. You know, because that's what Simone Biles was talking about in my introduction. She talks about like, yeah, I could have had that life, but look what I have now. I could have had the times with my friends, but lost out what my goals eventually wanted to be. And in the same way, I have to look at it with my relationship with Christ. Because at one point, I wanted it all. At one point, I wanted more and more. But I look back and I say to myself, I consider that all garbage. For the sake that I get to know my Savior, for the sake that I get to know my Redeemer, for the sake that I get to know my Healer. What would you give up in your own life? To kind of give a better understanding, we first must understand that it starts by us giving God our will. It's not my will. It's not my way. It's not what I say. It's about giving him this full submission. Submitting to Christ, again, is obedience to him. Giving him my all is necessary. Telling him it is not my desire, but it's your desire. It's not about my ways, but it's about your ways. And again, I'm not trying to say that God doesn't want us to dream and to have desires. But what I'm trying to say is allowing Christ to coattail, to anchor all of your direction in life. Again, Christ can bless you exceedingly and abundantly above all that you and I could ask for. But I have to remind myself that it takes for me to allow him to anchor my life. You know, when I think about it in life, which is why I'm so passionate to talk about. You know, a lot of people are just losing themselves today. They're losing their identity. They try to find their identity in the materialistic things. They try to find their identity in what the world can present. But I have to remember to myself that my identity is found in Jesus Christ. And what he says is who I am. Because I believe that Christ is the great I am. I believe that he is the resurrection. I believe that he is the way. He is the life. He is the truth. I believe that he is the good shepherd. That's what it's all about. What are you willing to exchange in your life to have a life with Christ? Let me say a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the scriptures today. I thank you for the word. Lord, I pray that in this teachings or in this passage, we can continue to live out a life with you. We can just trust you more and more. We can exchange the things that are not valuable in our lives, and we can gain access to you. And when we gain you, we gain it all, Lord. And I thank you again that we get to serve the one true God, the one true King. And I thank you that the scriptures kind of lets us know to apply these principles in our daily lives. And I pray that as a church, that I pray that as your people, we can apply your word, we can apply your ways, and we can live them out in abundance. And I pray that all these things would bring honor and glory to your son's name. Amen.